If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I feel like lately on the show, I've been having a good mix of artists that I'm very familiar with and people who've been on the show many times before, and then artists who are totally new to me. And this is, the guest on this episode is someone in that category for sure. I think the best way to start this off is if you want to just introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist, and we can sort of go from there.
Sure. My name is Karina Joy. I'm a folk artist from Winnipeg, non-binary. I am an avid performer at some local open mics like Osborne Tap House, Hanson Daughter, Modern Coffee. I'm doing a lot more performances and stuff with my Karina Joy band as of late, and have works to start recording with my friend producer Marshall Keep. And potentially do some more studio work with maybe House of Wonders.
If you're gonna get studio work done in Winnipeg, that's definitely a good choice. I mean, they've been doing a lot of cool recordings for a lot of cool bands.
Yeah, he's actually my mentor right now through Creative Manitoba. So
oh, nice. Okay, well, that helps too, right?
Yeah.
When I was looking through your website, just for some background, the one thing that stood out in your bio was the reference that you've been writing songs since you were 4 years old. A lot of people I talk to on this show have been writing songs for a long time. Usually four is not necessarily listed as the starting point. So, I mean, what does that mean to you as far as writing songs? Because obviously, you know, as a four-year-old, the songwriting process is very, very different than it would be as an adult. So what does that mean, sort of that length of time of songwriting? What do you think of it as when you were four, as writing songs?
Well, so when I was 4 years old, back then it was me watching some of my favorite movies and then my mom recording me basically doing just a long rant of a song, describing every detail I remember from that song.
Cool.
Very soon after that, like, I was the first one in my kindergarten class reading and writing. There's a lot of pictures of me as a kid, always with my little notebook, because I was writing down, like, I wrote down, like, poems, lyrics for things. Once I was reading, I would, like, be sitting in the back of my parents', you know, vehicle we're driving. I would read the billboards and just whatever words and stuff were on signs, and I would often sing them to, like, the tunes of nursery rhymes.
Okay.
And that's how I, like, kept myself occupied. And then another thing I did a lot as a kid, and like still at that very young age, was anytime I was having like some big feelings, especially like if I was upset about something or really happy, those are basically the broad spectrums in which I was writing.
Sure.
I would like sing out my feelings, like, you know, like even if it's just like I'm, you know, mad about blah blah blah, or, you know, I'm so happy, you know, I'm riding my bike in this, and I'll just like sing those, and, you know, sometimes pretend I was like having my own like music video. Not that I really had a concept of music videos back then, but once I was starting to consume like film and all that, I would sing my songs and kind of like pretend like I was in my own song world as I would sing them to myself.
That's cool.
And then as I got older, songwriting definitely changed. When I was in middle school, you know, being a teen, really hard, a lot of emotions.
Yep.
I started keeping a proper like composition songbook. You know, I wrote a lot of sad stuff in
teenage,
there.
Teenagers,
yeah, they were hard. And, you know, that's when I started to really keep a proper record. Like, I still have that composition book. And then, I don't know, it was kind of just something I casually did. It didn't like jump out as like a special interest even for me.
Okay.
It was just like, oh yeah, like I do music. I write songs. My family wasn't like super musical, but my dad was like, he liked to collect his guitars that he didn't play. My older sister, you know, they played a bit of guitar. Me, and once I was old enough to kind of have a start developing my voice, then me and my older sister would sing together and do covers. And yeah, I think it wasn't only, it was only until I was like in high school that I actually started to be like, oh, I might be a songwriter. You know, it started more like I was like, oh, I'm a poet.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh, okay, you know what? Now that I have this like little ukulele to put music to, like I might be. And that's when I was more conscious of like, you know, the fact that this was something that I was or had been continuously doing throughout my life. And towards the end of high school, I realized like, oh, maybe I actually want to do music like throughout my life. And now as a songwriter, you know, that experience has definitely translated very well to me just being able to, I think, effectively turn my emotions and experiences and things I hold inside into, you know, tangible songs and lyrics and stuff. So, yeah.
how do those old, I mean, you said you keep the notebooks going back to junior high kind of age. How do those come across to you now? Like, have you gone back and read those lyrics recently? And then how do they compare, I guess, to, obviously, you know, you've grown as a songwriter, I'm sure. But how do you feel about that stuff now, if you look back on it?
Well, the stuff when I was four, those notebooks don't exist
Of course,
anymore,
those ones, yeah.
No no sense of organization. But my old composition book, I look at it with both like, yeesh, and but also grace, because it was like, you know, music was never something I did to show people initially. It was cathartic. It was how I regulated myself and just like dealt with, the horrors of life. And, you know, so looking back, I was kind of like, man, like, it's very telling to the stuff I was going through in those times of my life. You know, in my songbooks, I felt like it was really safe to just be very vulnerable and blunt. Looking back, I was kind of just like, you know, I hope that I can keep being that vulnerable songwriter, but now show people, because I think the value in it now is that I can give that vulnerability away to someone who might feel the same or who has been through similar experiences as me. Like, I have a song that people who see me like open mics here often, called "Mama Needs Her Baby," and it's about my relationship with my narcissistic mother.
Okay.
And people often ask me after I sing that, they're like, "How do you sing that without crying?" And I was like, there were tears when I wrote it, and singing it helps me, you know, process those feelings again. And now I'm at a point where, like, you know, I have to disconnect a little bit, because, you know, you're performing, you're putting on a bit of a face, but it's like, but I can give you these raw, real feelings of when I was really in the moment with it. And that's something I definitely could not have done. Look at my old stuff.
Sure.
I don't think I would share my old songs with people, maybe like my best friend. But
great.
I'm a lot more comfortable sharing the newer hard things in life with people.
That makes sense.
I'm not quite sure why, but
when you have a song like that, like the one you just mentioned, where obviously, I mean, I'm sure it was cathartic to write. You're going through some heavy emotions when you wrote it, and I'm sure when you perform it, does that catharsis happen every time you play it? Or was it just sort of like a one-time thing? You let it all out, and now it's just sort of going through the motions. Not to imply that it's not, you're not feeling it when you're playing on stage, but does it like reopen the feelings every time you perform it, I guess?
It depends. I do kind of put up a guard when I perform that kind of, like, that song and that kind of music, only for the sake of, like, you know, I want to be able to deliver a good performance. There's been moments where I find myself kind of like letting that guard down a moment, and then I'm like, okay, like, I can't get choked up right now, because I want people to hear me. Sometimes it kind of reopens it, or maybe afterwards I might have it, that second kind of aha moment thinking about it. But I think that performing it over and over again is kind of like defending those feelings and the experiences and solidifying it in a way where it's like, I did go through this, and I've had all these feelings, whether they're still apparent or not. But, you know, I will show you guys, and for that, I feel stronger, because I can wear these hard feelings on my sleeves, share them with you, maybe relate to some people in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people do come up after and, you know, they share their experiences with, like, similar experiences. And I'm like, you know, that this brought us closer together, and for that, we're both stronger.
Sure.
So, yeah. And definitely it's been easier the more I have performed it.
So I like that way of looking at it, as far as the sharing the feelings. Because, yeah, definitely, I mean, whatever the song's about, the chances of someone else having gone through something similar, they're pretty high. There's a lot of people out there. A lot of people have gone through sort of similar difficult things, whatever it is, right? So, yeah. And I think that's the best thing about music in general, too, is that you can connect. I mean, even if it's not the connection that the original artist intended, if you can get something out of it that affects you personally, and you can relate to your own feelings or your own experiences or trauma or whatever, I think that's when music really works. I mean, yeah, it can have a good beat and you could dance to it, but when does that sort of deeper personal feeling, you know, you get out of it, whether it's folk music or hip hop or death metal or whatever it is, right? Like, there's that thing that kind of binds artist and audience, I think.
Yeah, there's actually a, anytime I write something and I'm kind of like, man, is this too vulnerable? Is this, can I share this? Is this too much or whatever? I go back to this quote by Pablo Picasso that I live by when it comes to my music. And it goes, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away.
Okay.
If I can be vulnerable and share the stuff I went through and, you know, give that away to someone, either, you know, resonate with it or heal from it, then, you know, we're both better off because of it.
Sure.
This song is called One Way Ticket. I wrote it for my best friend who's currently in Vancouver chasing her dreams and who always inspires me.
Tricky cause to find yourself you have to step off of the shore. Look deep within. Ask yourself if you want something more. And what if you don't find what you're looking for and have to live with what you make? And maybe that'll hurt. But that's the risk in every choice we make. How should we feel when we are leaving everything we know?
Mentioned you know, a few minutes ago about the ukulele, and I've seen a lot of photos of you and videos of you with the ukulele. What was the reason behind that instrument? I know for a lot. I mean, like, I have a kid who I have a teenager who learned how to play ukulele as a first instrument, and I know a lot of people sort of pick it up, and because you can get a few simple chords and you can start writing songs sort of like right away, mm-hmm. Right? But what is the appeal of that instrument to you? Obviously, it's more than just a starter instrument for a lot of folks.
Well, for me, it was just the starter instrument. I started with one of those, you know, like those, like colored enamel,
yep.
Ukuleles, yep. You can get like a long braid. I had one. Yeah, it was like this little blue ukulele.
There's a green one in my house. My kids have one. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Which it sucks for a beginner instrument because the nylon strings are shit.
They don't stay in tune.
And the top bridge of it, like at the top of the neck, is just a little too high. And so you're really struggling for any like pushing down strings on the first frets. But my dad got me that first ukulele, I think Christmas of like when I was in grade 9,
okay.
Maybe grade, actually, no, I think it was grade 9. I learned the four basic chords on it and like never progressed past that. And so I wrote like a bunch of songs, all very different melodies and whatnot, but all on the same chords. So yeah. I got very creative with my lack of skills. And I played that ukulele for a number of years. I played it at open mics and stuff until I want to upgrade to something that could plug in. I got a tenor ukulele, which did have a plug-in.
Cool.
It sounded the same, though. But it had better strings on it. And it was just, like, a little bit bigger, had a strap, which made it a lot easier to perform with.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, having to sit and, like, prop a ukulele up was really got on my back. And then sometime in those years, too, like, before I graduated, I also got a baritone ukulele.
Oh, cool.
Which is completely different because it doesn't have the same strings or like setup as a concert or tenor. It's basically a guitar minus the top two strings. So the shapes for the chords are completely different.
Yeah.
So I got that. And then I realized I would have to learn a whole different set of skills. So then I didn't pick it up for years. And then last year, I started playing that one again. And I like, you know what? I think I'm going to stick with this one. And then I got into classical guitar.
Oh, cool.
Might be able to see my Godin behind me.
In the background, yeah.
I started playing classical guitar March of this year.
So that's very recent. I just started with
like a Yamaha student guitar. But was renting that from Long McQuay. And then I rented this, you know, better Godin guitar the last 2 months. And I finally just bought it like a few days ago. So
oh, cool.
Now it's officially.
That's awesome.
It was a slow progression.
How does that change? I mean, I know this is very new, the classical guitar thing, like you said, but how does that change the way you write songs? I mean, you have more strings, first of all. And I mean, it's a whole different sort of way of approaching just playing music. I mean, has it affected your songwriting yet? Or do you anticipate that it will?
Oh, I definitely think it has. Because the main reason I made the switch was because I was getting a bit like jealous of just that full sound of a guitar, because a baritone ukulele is really full for ukulele. But then when you're surrounded by guitarists, like, and not that it was pressuring me to get a guitar or anything, but I looked around, I was like, man, it'd be nice if I could like pick one up. Cause like you can find a guitar at all sorts of places.
Yeah.
And like, you know, at some point it's almost a party trick. Just like, oh, there's a guitar there. Do-do-do-do-do. You know, I can play
someone will grab it and start playing songs. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I was drawn to classical because I was always doing my music on like nylon strings. So, you know, like I have the calluses and whatnot. A steel string I can play, but it's slightly not as comfortable. I was able to have like a deeper, more full sound. And I think just having this bigger instrument, you know, with six strings, and all these different tones really gave me it opened doors for me to like write more complicated things.
Okay.
With more and so now I do like finger picking style sometimes. Other times I'm just doing rhythm guitar. I think it's gonna kind of encourage me to want to learn to do more and more difficult things because it has the capacity to do more.
Yeah, definitely. You've mentioned that you do a lot of open mics. Aside from that, have you sort of figured out where you fit within the local music scene? Because Winnipeg has such a wide and diverse set of artists. I mean, I've been doing this for like 12 years now, every week, and I haven't even come close to scratching the surface. The amount of musicians here is crazy. But do you think that it's sort of like a niche where you fit in, or where your music fits in within the existing music scene, or are you still trying to find that?
I definitely think it does, but I've always wondered if every musician kind of has that, yeah, I know my genre, but everyone's got these subgenres where they're kind of like questioning,
yep.
Okay, I fit in the genre, but to what extent do I fit in?
Yes.
And to what extent am I this kind of separate entity? So I identify with folk. I call myself like dream folk because I just use a lot of major seventh chords and they sound very dreamy. And I'm kind of known for that in a number of my songs. But lately I've been questioning more like maybe a more like alternative folk just because like my background in music, like I listen to all sorts of genres, like everything from like, you know, screamo, heavy metal to like jazz.
Cool.
And when I was a very young kid, it was mostly like new metal bands like Shinedown, Breaking Benjamin, Three Days Grace, that kind of stuff.
Must have been the era when all that stuff was big, right?
Yeah, my dad listened to it in the band.
Okay, so you got exposed. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so now it's like, but then I was drawn to folk music as I got older. I loved it's like, you know, I found that it was very poetic and there was this beautiful simplicity to it. It's very easy listening music and just like very easygoing, hunky-dory type of thing. And I think my voice also kind of fit more to folk. I find that I have more of a soft, gentle voice.
Yeah.
You know, definitely not like a rock voice or anything, or you won't catch me doing any screamo. But I definitely have like the rock influences, but then like the heart of folk. So sure.
You're filtering those influences through what you do as a folk artist.
Exactly. So it's like I think some of those rock influences come through a little bit, but in general, like. When I go to an open mic, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm the one who plays all the mellow music, with the exception of like a few of my higher paced songs.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a community, but my community of folk people, everyone's so different. Like
that's true. Yeah.
I don't even know what to call everyone else's type of folk, but I'm like, that's folky. So you know, this is like, it's just a pool.
I think it's a harder question than I mean, I tend to ask everyone some version of that question, and it's always difficult to answer because unless you're basically like a straight ahead hip hop artist or a country singer or something, and even there's a bunch of offshoots as well, but there's so many, it's not as easy to define anymore. Everyone's got a subgenre of a subgenre and it's part of this other thing, and yeah. It's all over the place. So yeah, it's difficult to, but I mean, Winnipeg in general, as far as folk music has, is a very strong community and always has, right? Like there's so many singer-songwriters here. And folk groups and all the offshoots, even if you go into like bluegrass and country and then blues and all these other sort of subgenres, it's crazy how many people doing some form of folk music in Winnipeg.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I kind of, for a long time, I was kind of like, oh God, if I can't like pinpoint exactly what I am, people like, what are they going to expect from me? And then I realized like, you know what? I can just say, here's the music I listen to. You guys listen to the same stuff? Cool. We have something to talk about. Here's my influences. You know, you might pick up a little Bird Talker here or Bonnie Light Horseman there or, you know, is Grace over there? Who knows?
Right.
I'm realizing it's less and less important for me to prove exactly and define exactly what my music is and put it in a box. People will find it and they like it or they don't.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're in an era now where it doesn't matter as much. It used to matter extremely what genre you were, but now it's really just like old, you know, the nerds like me who are trying to categorize everything on their shelves. Like that's the only ones who really care. But right now you can be anything you want. You can put it out there on the internet and anyone from anywhere is going to find it, right? So it's a very different ecosystem, I think, for artists in general than it was even 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Love.
So for people who are hearing about you for the first time on the show, what's the best way to find out what you're doing? I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast is someone could tune in the day it gets released, or they could tune in a year from now. And by then, you know, maybe you have more music out, you got more shows, who knows? So what's the best way to sort of follow what you're up to online?
Instagram is definitely the one I'm most like avid on. I'll post about what I'm up to. I have a Joy of Music broadcast channel on my Instagram. People can DM me too. I'm, you know, usually open to like quick chats and stuff. I have my websites. I'll be updating it actually just tomorrow, because I do have a feature set coming up at the Tap House December 3rd. I'm going to be applying for festivals with my band. So you can find all that stuff on my website as those things get accepted and whatnot. I have a TikTok. I would say that one's more for just like consumption of my music. Instagram is more promotion and like what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a Facebook page too, but yeah.
So you're easy to find, I guess, right? Whatever platform, people can look you up and find you. And then as far as actually hearing the music, what's the best way to do that? I mean, I know you have, you've been writing music for a long time. Well, yeah, you have a bunch of stuff that's out there in the world. What's the best way to track down your music and give it a listen?
Well, funny thing is, I did have a lot of music out up until very recently. I had put out an album, two EPs. I had like 9 releases altogether that I kind of took down, because most of the stuff I still love all that music, or most of it, but I produced it by myself when I was in high school.
Right.
And I realized, like, especially in this new year, I'm kind of gearing up to re-record some of that stuff, because I want people to have a more honest version of, like, this is what I actually sound like, and like the ideas that I am able to vocalize better now with like the help of producers and people who know what they're doing. So I would say you can find me on Spotify, but if you really want to hear me, come see me live. Find me at Tap House for Coffee, Hanson Daughter.
And then eventually there will be more on Spotify once you get this. I like the idea of re-recording it all. Yeah. Or re-recording the ones that you like the best from those old songs to reflect where you are now. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a time and place for home recordings. And I love a lot of that stuff where it's just very DIY. But if you have the capacity to do it better, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Singing more these days. A little fear in my
distracted. It's your fault, but for good reasons.
Hey, it sounded great.
Thank you, thank you.